Welcome to Studio 2. I'm Cherry Gregg.
Hello, everybody. I'm Avi Wolfman-Aaron. Coming up, we're going to talk about the thing that you are probably looking at right now outside your window, the smoky haze that's hanging over our region from the Quebec wildfires. This is day two. Health officials still advising you to stay inside with that maroon air quality alert. That's shorthand for hazardous. We'll be joined by Dr. Olajumoke Fadugba from Penn Medicine, who will tell us more about how this could impact our health.
Yeah, I was definitely impacted this morning. We'll also talk about recent incidents of large groups of teens causing disturbances in the city and at shore towns. It's led to police involvement. We'll discuss why these large gatherings are happening and some alternatives we should be offering young people with Philly's Kendra Vandewater and Robert Watford, a young person who was at a recent Penn's Landing gathering. Looking forward to that discussion.
And put a note on this. We want to hear from you in this conversation. What do you think should be done to keep young people safe and engaged over the summer? Give us a call, 888-477-9499. You can also email studio2@whyy.org. You can start calling now. But first, Cherry, we're going to dig into some news.
Yeah, staff from the Museum of the American Revolution in Old City, they were protesting this week. They want the museum's leadership to cancel a Moms for Liberty event that is slated to take place later this month. This comes after Moms for Liberty was recently classified as an anti-government extremist group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, if you've never heard of Moms for Liberty, it's a national organization that trains parents to hold school leaders accountable. They work to ban books in schools and fight different types of curriculum. Now, get this. The Moms for Liberty Summit kicks off here in Philadelphia June 29th. It'll mostly take place at the Marriott downtown, but they rented a public space at the museum for their welcoming event. And there was a forum that was held with the museum's president and staff members. They voiced their concerns. It was very emotional at that meeting. Yet the president has moved ahead and has continued to allow Moms for Liberty to use that space. Right now, there's a petition. 39 staffers have signed. They claim they are scared for their safety, Avi.
Well, we're going to hear a lot more about this in the months to come because that Moms for Liberty Summit takes place, as you mentioned, at the end of June into early July. Several Republican presidential hopefuls are going to be there, we believe, including Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis. So that is going to take the temperature up another notch. So I believe this is the first of protests and counter-protests that we're going to see around this specific event. Moms for Liberty has been very effective at creating, generating controversy and media coverage, which I guess we are in some ways
perpetrating
and participating in right now. And obviously, they kind of came out of nowhere in the education space quite recently. And like I said, have been extremely effective at drawing attention to themselves. And by having this event in Philadelphia, I think they know what they're doing. They are going to court more controversy. And so I think this is the first of many stories we're going to see on this topic.
And I just want to point out, I've been to the Museum of the American Revolution. Love the museum. Very inclusive take on history. They tell untold stories. But the museum, they say they foster a space for inclusivity and that they want to allow for many political viewpoints. So, I mean, we're going to have a new presidential season coming up in 2024, and you may have groups and meetings around town that may express views that you disagree with. It's democracy.
Yeah. Somewhat similar to the Union League honoring Ron DeSantis not long ago, the Union League in Philadelphia, for those that don't know it. I think this is going to be a similar type of a clash. Speaking of things we definitely want to keep out, invasive species. We talked about this on Tuesday with the spotted lanternfly, which we all know about. And there is another invasive bug that just landed at the Port of Delaware. It is a type of citrus root weevil. It came to the Port of Delaware through a pineapple shipment from Honduras. Apparently, it's quite rare, and there's some concern that it could hitchhike its way to Florida, where it would cause some more damage to the citrus crop down there. They have some citrus root weevils already in Florida that do some damage annually, but apparently this could intensify the problem. So they did identify it at the Port of Delaware, and hopefully they've stopped it in its tracks. But if this is the recurring problem, right? Invasive species of all, whether it's a weevil, a fly, or whatever. They hitchhike around on shipments that go all over the world, and they end up where they're not supposed to end up.
Yeah, these weevils can be very evils, you know, and cause all kinds. I know I had to throw that in there. I'm dying to say that today. But, you know, I mean, they cause, you know, tens of millions of dollars in damage. And so we have to be careful. This one looks a little like, you know, creepy looking and mm-hmm. scary looking when it's zoomed in on. And so we do need to pay attention to this. And this is the first time, as you mentioned, that this type of thing has hijacked its way into or hitchhiked its way into Delaware. So we'll be paying attention.
You better believe it.
Oh, that was good, Avi.
Oh, gosh. We're going to get some bad feedback on this. Joking about invasive species. Invasive species are no joke, folks.
We have
highlighted that on this program. I just want to put that disclaimer out there.
Another thing that's not a joke is access to mental health services, specifically for first responders. And legislation in New Jersey will help firefighters access mental health services. They say they're in desperate need of it. This law would give $1 million to the Department of Human Services in the state to create the Firefighter Critical Mental Health Assistance Grant Program. It would give grants to mental health providers to provide confidential mental health services to firefighters and their families. I mean, you know, first responders, I mean, they're risking their lives. They see death. They see serious injury. They're under constant pressure. And a lot of them don't want to come forward with mental health issues like PTSD or other trauma and depression because they're afraid that they'll lose their jobs. Yeah. And the hope is that with this bill, that this assistance will give them a confidential way to get the kind of help that they need.
I think we've started to do better as a society acknowledging mm-hmm. this, but I probably still a long way to go. The accumulated mental pressure of seeing people on the worst day of their lives over and over and over again is enormous.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you calculate it. I mm-hmm. don't know exactly how you fix it because in some ways these jobs, that's the nature of these jobs, right? And we actually see this a little bit with reporters who cover crime, you know,
who are on
the crime and courts beat in our profession. But of course, one step is addressing it, calling it out, and making sure that those people know that there's help available and making help available to them, right?
Yeah.
But I think that's just one part of it because how do you fix something that is by its nature so traumatic? And not just traumatic in one instance. It's trauma built up over time, almost like mental plaque, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And they're a lot like, you know, our veterans too. I mean, they're seeing a lot of things. And these are heroes. So it's a lot to say, I need help, when you're viewed in the community as a hero. And I just want to say $1 million to me seems a little low, but it is a first step, right? And
we'll see. Symbolic first step,
yeah.
I suppose.
And this legislation right now is making its way through the assembly. It passed through one committee, but it hasn't become law yet. I wanted to point that out.
Of course, firefighters right now are very busy all over the continent, including in Canada, where flames have not yet subsided. It's a hazy day yesterday in our region mm-hmm. with poor air quality because of smoke from those Canadian wildfires. It continues today. Philadelphia is under a maroon air quality alert. Yesterday on the program, Cherry, we talked about sort of the meteorological logic behind the thick air outside. Today, we're going to focus on the public health threat it causes. And joining us now on the phone is Dr. Olajumoke Fadugba, who is the chief of the Section of Allergy and Immunology at Penn Medicine. Dr. Fadugba, thanks so much for joining us on Studio 2.
Hi, Avi. Thank you for having me.
So we are being bombarded right now with messages that the air is not safe. What does that mean? What about the particulate in the air right now makes it unsafe?
Yeah, so right now, as you mentioned earlier, we are at the airnow.gov, the site that tells us about air quality. We're in the maroon zone. And what it's measuring is the amount of particulate matter that's in the air, as well as other pollutants like ozone. And so particulate matter, they call it PM 2.5, which is droplets in the air that are really, really small. So 2.5 micrometers or less. It's at a level of, I think, 240 to 250. And so that's what we're seeing in the sky. That's what we're smelling. And that's what is causing or could cause health problems.
Yeah. And so what does this do to your lungs? Are we breathing in actual material? Like what is the issue here? Yeah.
Yeah. Essentially, when it's outside and you're breathing, You're inhaling this stuff. It's small enough, as I said, less than 2.5 micrometers. So it's small enough to actually enter the airway through your nose or through your mouth and cause irritation and maybe inflammation of the lungs and the airway. And so people who are susceptible are breathing in. Yes, it is actual stuff, matter, but it's very, very tiny.
So biologically, that stuff, what, it gets into your airwaves, it gets into your system, and your body responds. Is it your body's response that's the issue? It's saying like, hey, I don't like this thing. It shouldn't be in here.
Exactly. So our body does not expect that stuff in there, at least not in this concentration, right? And so that's why there's always stuff in the air to some degree. But when you're at this level, there's enough of it in the atmosphere to potentially cause irritation and inflammation. And if you're a susceptible individual, so if you have an underlying health problems, let's say airway or lung conditions such as asthma, obstructive lung disease, and other chronic lung conditions, you already have a sort of susceptible airway and lungs. And so you have this stuff in there causing irritation. You can cause symptoms such as wheezing, chest tightness, coughing, shortness of breath. People with cardiovascular diseases are also susceptible.
Yeah. And, you know, I was sneezing. I sneezed probably 15 times today, and I'm not really a sneezer. So that was like annoying.
Definitely.
And, something. So, and they're telling you to stay inside, but, you know, you can still smell the smoke even when you're inside. Is that really protecting yourself if you can still smell it?
Well, that's a really good question and point. So, of course, you know, being inside, you are protected to a large degree because the doors, the windows are blocking out a large amount of that material. But you remember, these particulate matter is very, very small. So some of it can enter right through the tiny crevices of your doors and your windows, and that's what you're smelling. And so being inside is much better than being outside. But when you're inside, especially if you can smell it, that's a clue that there's a little bit in there. And so just, you know, have your windows closed. It is a good time, if you're not doing it already, to have a fan on, air conditioning on, and if possible, air filter that can filter out that very, very small particulate matter. Those things can help.
Even if I feel fine today, doctor, am I courting some long-term risk by walking around outside?
So, you know, I think that at this time, it really depends on how long we are exposed. With things like this, the health outcomes and the long-term health outcomes depend a lot on how much you're exposed to this and for how long you're exposed to this. So hopefully the air quality doesn't remain this bad for too long. And I think if one needs to be outdoors, then there are things you can do, right? So if you need to take to walk to the bus or to the train or you work outside, there are some things that you can do to help protect yourself.
Yeah. And what, and what are some of those things? Because I wore an N95. Do those work? Are there other things you can do?
Sure. Yeah. So first of all, you've mentioned a big one, right? So if you can, wear an N95 or a KN95 mask, because that provides enough of a seal on your face to keep out some of the smaller particulate matter that would otherwise get through with a surgical mask. Now, if somebody only has a surgical, simple surgical mask, that's better than nothing. But a KN95 or N95 provides better protection. In addition to masking, again, keeping your time outside as short as possible, if you can, and try not to do strenuous activity, because when you do that, you're breathing harder, faster, deeper. So you're inhaling more of the pollutants into your lungs, to your airway.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for joining us on Studio 2. That is Dr. Olajumoke Fadugba, who is the chief of the Section of Allergy and Immunology at Penn Medicine. Dr. Fadugba, we really appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Coming up, so-called rowdy teens are in the news. From the city to the Jersey Shore, what we can do to support young people and keep them on the right track and engaged. And we want to hear from you. Stick with us. More Studio 2 coming up.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Welcome back to Studio 2. I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt. School is almost out. Kids have more free time during the summer, which means they hang out with friends, have some fun, and we should emphasize and re-emphasize that is a good thing. There is nothing wrong with socializing. However, a few recent incidents of large groups of teenagers causing disturbances in the city down the shore made it into the news, has some folks wondering and worrying.
Yeah, over Memorial Day weekend, police had to disperse a group at Penn's Landing after some fights broke out and some cars were vandalized. And at the beach, crowds of reportedly, quote, drunken teens have forced towns like Ocean City, Sea Isle City, and others to pass ordinances upping curfew times, closing beaches at night, and banning backpacks.
So we want to talk about what's behind these crowds of young people, why they get out of hand, and what we should be doing to give teenagers other opportunities. Kendra Vandewater is the co-founder and executive director of YAH Philly. YAH stands for Youth Empowerment for Advancement Hangout. It's a nonprofit that creates safe spaces for young people and connects them to services, all in an effort to disrupt the cycle of youth violence. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
We also have YAH program participant Robert Watford also with us. He was at one of the Penn's Landing gatherings. Welcome, Robert.
Thank you for having me.
And you, my friend, you can chime in. What activities do you think would help get these crowds under control? Is your neighborhood already organizing summer activities? Call us. The number is 888-477-9499. You can also email us at studio2@whyy.org. So, Kendra, you just heard us describe these large gatherings of teens in Philly, but the city's not alone. They're happening all over in other cities. I want you to begin our discussion with your take on what it is we're seeing and why.
So I think we're seeing these large groups of young people gathering because our city does not have a lot for them to do. I mean, we think about a time where school is letting out. We're coming off of COVID. We are going into summer, and there are not a lot of things for teenagers, older young people to do that are outside. We don't have a lot of green spaces. We don't have a lot of activities for them. So I think they're trying to blow off steam. But when you have that many teenagers together, things can get out of hand.
So describe some of those ideal spaces that should exist that don't exist in Philadelphia and in other cities.
Yeah, I think about our pools and rec centers, right? A lot of times in the summer, they cater to a younger age group, under 12. Summer camp is usually for younger kids. If we had teenage camps, I think it would be better. If we had camps for young adults, they would be better, whether they be in the rec centers, at the pools, at certain spaces. I know we live in a city and space is sometimes hard to find. Space like ours was even hard to find, and we're in a neighborhood, but not just sports, things for them to do that are productive. I think about our summer work ready programs. Why are these things not all year round? There's a wait list of thousands of kids who can't even get into work ready. So I think if we're investing in more green spaces, in more productive things for young people to do all year round, especially in the summer, we would have less of these incidents.
Yeah. And we have a young person here, Robert.
How you doing?
Thanks for being here. I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself, your age, where you're from. And then I want you to talk about the Penn's Landing, event you went to and how you ended up there.
My name is Robert Watford. I'm 18. I'm born and raised from West Philadelphia. I mean, it was I'm gonna say like the beginning of the day, like everything started off cool, like you feel me? Like everybody was chilling, everybody was having fun. But I guess it's like what Ms. Kendra said, it'd be too many teens in like one environment at one time, you feel me? So it was like they don't know how to like, I want to say they don't know how to behave like with each other. Feel me? Cause like I don't know how to like really explain it, but like they don't really know how to like act right.
And when,
like,
when it gets to the, so how did you hear about the event?
Like through the internet.
Through
through the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Through the internet.
What, like Instagram?
Yeah, like Instagram.
Instagram.
Was it a flyer? Like what? Yeah. What happened?
It was like a flyer. For me, that said like everybody come outside today.
Yeah.
For me, we going like it was really like supposed to be everybody supposed to have fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was just like, I guess everybody got their own mind. For me, I don't know. Like, I don't know what led or like what triggered that to happen. For me.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, we're happy that you're safe. And,
thank you.
And that you're here with us. So when you went down there, what were you expecting would happen? You're thinking, I'm imagining in your head, we're just going to have a good time. I mean, with like a group of like how many people you think?
Well, at first, I'm already knowing like something going to happen. Like, like not saying like necessarily it can be bad or for me, I'm already thinking like, all right, something going to happen because it's going to be a lot of people there. Because it's all over. It's like going all over the internet for me, all over Instagram. So, therefore, it's going to be a lot of people there. So, I'm already, like, I want to say getting myself ready for, like, what I'm going to be expecting when I get there, you feel me? So, when I do get there, it's just, like, a lot of people.
Mm. Yeah.
And I just was thinking, something going to happen.
Yeah,
this is way too many.
Your
people.
Spidey senses sort of went up, and Kendra, I want to bring you back into the conversation to kind of react to what Robert's saying here. I mean, how does social media shift what would be a normal gathering of young people? Because Penn's Landing has they have a Ferris wheel, they have games, they have a skating rink. It's supposed to be this whole area is supposed to be for tourists and fun and young people. How does social media shift it?
I mean, those things also cost money. So we got to think about, is there a time where you can say, you know, oh, it's an all-teen skate for like a dollar or something like that. Things that we're creating for young people. So if I think it's sad that somebody has to go on Instagram and make a flyer and be like, oh, let's all go outside today because there's really nothing for us to do. But what are you going to do as a teenager at Penn's Landing? You know, you're going to run around. You can buy food that costs like $25 to buy something at Penn's Landing. So you're taking a group of young people who probably don't have a lot of money to go do the things that are for tourists. And, you know, it's causing chaos. So we really need to have those things. I think it's a great space for young people. I think there just needs to be a time set aside for them where they can go and go be kids.
I want to reintroduce both of you. If you just tuned in to Studio 2, we are talking with Robert Watford, a young person in the YAH program that is run by Kendra Vandewater, our other guest. And so, Kendra, I wanted to ask you, how do you create a space, an adult-created, adult-sanctioned space, that actually is as appealing for a teenager as hanging out with a group of teenagers in a non-adult space? Because I remember being a teenager, and I remember thinking, yeah, the rec center is cool, and I'll go there sometimes, but I'm definitely not going to spend all my time there because there are adults around. So you got to compete with that. How do you compete with that?
Yeah, so I think our space is very different because it's a population of young people who they get to chill, right? Like a rec center is kind of different. You're either doing something, you're playing basketball, you're doing homework. But I think our space is you can play video games, you can cook dinner, you can do your laundry, you can see a tutor if you want to, but we're like a family environment. So I think creating that loving environment it's smaller than a rec center because our space is smaller, but it's a space for young people who feel like I don't have this anywhere else. And so it's not a competition with a rec center. It's more so we need more spaces like this because the population we serve, you know, we serve a lot of young people in the legal system. They're not going to the rec center and, you know, participating in things with little kids. So our space is specifically for that older teen and that young adult, which doesn't exist anywhere else. But we do a lot of things. We take a lot of trips. We have basketball tournaments. We're going whitewater rafting. We go on yearly camping trips. I remember when Robert came to our program, he didn't talk. He didn't talk at all. And
is that true, Robert?
Now you're on the radio.
I didn't talk at all because I wasn't used to the environment, but I got comfortable with the people that was there, so I started talking.
How did she win you over? How did they win you over?
What, to start talking?
Yeah.
I don't even. I just. All right. The first day I see my cousin there, I felt like I felt home a little bit. I felt like I wasn't there by myself, so that like made me start talking a little bit more.
Talk about a little bit, Robert, since we got you going now. Like, talk a little bit about, like, the need for space. What without Yeah Philly, what would you be doing typically?
Without Yeah Philly, I want to say, like, I wouldn't be, like, doing the best, but I'd be doing a little good, because, like...
Would you be bored, kind of, like, at home, you know?
Yeah, I'd be bored, but I still, like, make a way for myself to, like, mm-hmm. entertain myself or, like, for me to do something. But, Philly, they did, like, make a big difference. And, like, or, like, I'm going to say a big impact in my life because, like, they did help me out a lot, you feel me?
Yeah.
So, like, before I was, like, going to Yeah Philly, I wasn't really doing nothing. Like, I was just in the house or, like, just playing a game or something.
Like video games.
Yeah, just playing video games or just being in the house or just, like, go outside around the neighborhood. I wasn't really doing nothing too.
And so as a young person, like, what kind of activities do you look for that would get you out of the house and make you feel like you're having a good time? Because most people, they want to have fun.
See, with me, it's different. Because I got ADHD, so I got to move around, feel me? I got to be, like, I can't be sitting still for too long. So I would want to do, like, something like my hands just occupy, like, or me building something or, like, feel me? Or, like, me learning something I never learned before. That would be fun. Or, like, going places I never been, like, seeing places that's other than Philly, like, or other than my city, then I want to do that.
If you want to join the conversation, by the way, because we're trying to crowdsource some solutions here today, 888-477-9499 is the number. You can also email us, studio2@whyy.org. Kendra, what doesn't work? Because when there is an event like the one down the shore, Ocean City, New Jersey, the boardwalk, it does seem like the first response tends to be shut it down. Mm-hmm. Maybe that does work. I don't know. But I'm setting it up a little bit. Like, what are the responses that do work and what are the responses that don't work?
I think if we're trying to mitigate those things, we have to be open to allowing young people in those spaces. I think about the Fashion District, right? Mm-hmm. Is it realistic to say a young person should not be there after 2 p.m. unless they are with an adult? We used to hang out at malls. I'm 35 now, right? We used to be at the mall all the time. Now young people can't even be at the mall when really there's a movie theater inside of a mall. Are they not allowed to go in that movie theater? There's a bowling alley inside of the mall. Are they not allowed to go inside of the bowling alley? So if we're not creating these solutions for them, we're going to continue to see these problems. The beaches, I think, are the same thing. And I also think young people are smoking and drinking because they don't have things to do. We have to create things to do. And I think investing in them directly is what we have to do. A trip for a young person, I think about our yearly camping trip is our largest trip of the year. It's about 30 young people that we take to the Poconos for the whole weekend. And that cost just for them to go is $2,500. Then we have to add the cost of food, right? And to feed 30 people, we're cooking over the fire. That's probably an extra $700. So you're looking at $3,500 to take a weekend trip out of the city for a smaller group of young people. And when we just had these spaces, I even think about Love Park. Who wants to sit on those hard chairs? We don't want to sit on those hard chairs. They're creating the spaces to where they don't want people lingering around. And so it's not a welcoming place. But the solutions I think that don't work either are we automatically meet them with law enforcement. Mm-hmm. The first thing we say is, oh, you're going to have police contact. When really we have to be investing in these open solutions with young people at the table, with young people saying this is what kind of space that we want and we need to do it.
So let me imagine that I guess that I'm the person that runs the Fashion District or whatever. And I'm thinking, okay, I hear you, but whatever. I just don't want to risk it. And it's easier for me to just put up a fence, whether it's a, you know, not a literal fence in this case, but a rule, and just make sure that there are no young people around at all. Are you telling me that I should, you know, maybe tolerate the chance of something happening for the benefit of young people? Like, make that case to me, because I mean, as a business owner, maybe even as a politician, it might just be easier to say, big X, you know?
And it probably is easier. I mean, it's easier because we don't want to deal with it. Yeah. I wouldn't want to deal with it either as a business. I mean, even the way we operate, we don't want to deal with young people who constantly would be doing the same things at right. the businesses. But if we don't have that trust with the community, with the young people, then we're not going to be able to change that. Yeah. I know that there are not a lot of stores in the Fashion District for that cater to young people. So, you know, them even being there, to me, the mall feels empty. It feels empty all of the time yeah, in true. The Fashion District. But as a business owner, you have to open that door, unless we're not going to see those changes, I don't think. I think that businesses are getting tired. They're getting sick of dealing with the same thing. But also, we're not having these open conversations about what to do with the young people.
Yeah, and that's what we want to hear from you. What do you think could keep young people engaged? What's happening in your community that you want to share with us? Call 888-477-9499 or email studio2@whyy.org. In case you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Kendra Vandewater, co-founder and executive director of YEAH Philly. We also have one of YEAH's program participants, Robert Watford. Robert, I got to ask you, what message does that send you as a young person when you hear you can't go to the mall after 2 o'clock. You can't, you're not welcome here. You're not welcome there. And police are everywhere. What does that tell you as a young person?
I mean, sometimes I be a little frustrated because like, I got like deal with the consequences of other people's actions for me. But majority of the time, like when they do that, it be like for a good reason. Cause like our city shut the mall down this day and I wanted to go. And you know, I stay in the house because then you know, that prevent like me getting in trouble or me doing like for me like running like doing something that I'm not supposed to. Mm-hmm. Being though they shut down the mall, I'm staying in the house, so I ain't got like it ain't no chances of me like getting in trouble or anything. So that do be the good sides of it, but then also the bad side is like I can't have no fun. I'm cramped up in the house. I can't like go buy me new clothes, or I can't go buy me a new game, or I can't go get some food, or you feel me? So I say it's a good side of it and it's a bad side of it.
Interesting. We want to bring in a caller who is on line one. Tracy wants to talk about who's coming to the city and causing these problems. Those are the words I see here on the screen. Tracy, you are on Studio 2. What's your comment?
Hi. I live in Society Hill. I live right by the river, right by Penn's Landing. I've lived here for years. And I just wanted to say, since I've moved here, there have been big groups of teenagers that have hung out. They have just looked different from the teenagers who are getting the police called on them now. And so while I commend what Kendra's doing, I applaud Robert for being on the show today. I would love to hear a little bit about maybe just, you know, sort of our own abstinence in calling 911 just because we happen to see large groups of teenagers who, you know, I know it's not supposed to be about race, but that's certainly what it looks like to me, that okay. when the kids who were out and getting into fights were white, I didn't see the cops being called immediately. And we're suddenly saying, essentially, certain kids who look a certain way shouldn't be at the mall, shouldn't be out in parks, and shouldn't be riding bikes, shouldn't be riding their motorcycles. And I just wonder if we continue to close otherwise legal spaces, what are we saying about our sort of tolerance race-wise as well?
And, Tracy made a point. When we bring race into the discussion, Kendra, is this over-policing of black and brown kids?
It is. I mean, we automatically call 911, like Tracy said, for everything. And I think that goes back to we have to educate the community. The city has to do a better job of educating people around when to call 911. 911 is for when you feel threatened, your life is in danger, and something urgent is happening. I think if more people were involved in the community, we can mitigate a lot of these issues instead of calling 911, instead of meeting, you know, which happens mostly be black and brown kids with police contact, because it's not fair. It does have to do with race. And the city is in uproar based on a very small percentage of the population that may commit violent crimes as a young person. And we're not talking about that.
I want to bring in a comment from Barbara here, who says, if you give kids mentoring opportunities, they grow and make a difference. What are the job opportunities out there in Philadelphia? I'll put that to you, Robert. Like, do you feel like if you wanted to get a job part-time over the summer, there are opportunities available for you? Where would you go to look for those opportunities? Give us a sense of what's out there for a young person today.
I don't know. Like, I would look for, like, something that, like, something I would be into, or, like, something that make me happy, or something that, like, want to push me to keep going, like, if I was looking for a job, or, like...
Give me a sense of what that might be.
Like, or, like, construction or something. Mm. Like, mm-hmm. I'd be into, like, construction, or, like, remodeling houses, or, like, or like, even selling houses, like, selling my own properties. I would love to do that. Mm. Or, like... Just helping out in the community, like the less fortunate that don't got like a lot of stuff. I would want like have my own business where I deliver them food or clothes and water and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like there's enough opportunity, Kendra, for young people? And I want to bring in this comment from Adriana, who says, "I hear about lifeguard shortages for community pools. There's also been some violence there, like, you know, like there's this mix. We hear that there's a labor shortage. Avi and I were talking about this before. There's a labor shortage in the community. Are there not enough opportunities? Should there be more?
There should be way more. I think about when I was younger, the jobs that we worked as teenagers, right? You work at McDonald's, you worked at some type of retail store in the mall. I think about today, it's very different because the adults and the young people are competing for the same jobs. Everybody needs some type of job. And so you can go work at Chipotle. And I know the young people who work at retail and food service, they're working adult hours while they're in high school, because these jobs, they want adults to work them and work full time hours. There's, you know, the lifeguard shortages. We are not talking about how there are a lot of Black kids who can't swim. So we are not offering swim classes, right? Like, we set up swim classes because we want more Black people to learn how to swim. There's a shortage, but the reality is we're in a city where a lot of people don't know how to swim. And that lifeguard test, when you can't swim, you have to have some intensive lessons to get to that point. The shortages are, like, I think about our work ready should be year round. Why are we not offering internships for young people in our city government? You know, they have to have opportunities that they don't get, and there's just not enough opportunities for them.
Getting a little pushback from some of our listeners, including an email from Amy, says definitely important for kids to have places to go. Kids also need to learn respect and responsibility. What happened in the Fashion District is unacceptable. If they can't show some respect, they're not going to get respect. Kendra, how would you respond to how Amy's feeling?
Amy, I hear you. I want young people to be respectful too, but it's all of our jobs to teach young people how to be respectful, how to condone themselves, conduct themselves in public environments. And then, you know, the whole city, we're speaking about brains don't develop fully until they're 25. Mm-hmm. We really have to think about what this means. This means that the prefrontal cortex in a young person's brain is not going to be fully developed until the mid to late 20s. This means that part of the brain is focused on healthy decision making,
right. Yeah.
Planning, prioritizing, things that we know as young people you may not be the best at. So that's where the Village also comes in. The Village is not here today like it used to be. We are having grandparents raise kids. Yeah. We're having kids stay with neighbors and family friends instead of having that household unit to teach them, you know, those manners and how to conduct themselves. And it's everybody's responsibility. It's everybody's job. And we can't just say, oh, we have to teach them manners and then they'll act different. That's a superficial solution. Mm. And we also have to do our part to teach them.
And I just want to mention that Robert said he wasn't, it's not, he was there.
He was there and wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
And that's the vast majority of, yeah. of well,
less than 1% of young people commit violent crime in the city of Philadelphia.
I think that's a good statistic to end it on. We are coming to the end of this conversation, but I just want to thank both of you. Robert Watford, thank you so much for joining us on Studio 2. Did a wonderful job. Kendra Vandewater, you as well. Kendra is the co-founder and executive director of YEAH Philly, which stands for Youth Empowerment for Advancement Hangout.
Yeah, and coming up, today is Thursday, which means it's trivia. Avi, are you ready? I know you got a good question.
I'm always kind of ready, yeah.
Yeah, stay ready.
Might and
you'll
as well
have to
do
get
it.
Ready. Stick with us. More Studio 2 coming up after this.
supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Cherry Gregg, and this is Studio 2. And today is another Trivia Thursday for us. My co-host, Avi Wolfman Arendt. Here, I call him the quiz master.
Only you call me.
I call him the quiz master. Avi, are you ready today?
As ready as I'll ever be. The question is whether Carol from Chestnut Hill is ready. Carol, you are on Studio 2. Welcome to Studio 2 Trivia. Okay, we have lost our contestant.
We have Carol?
Do we have Carol back?
Oh, bring Carol from
Chestnut
Hill.
Oh, live radio. Here we go. Carol.
Hi.
Yeah, this is live radio. So, you know, you fitting in. Got to ask you the
beat right into the fire.
I know. Do you have a superpower, Carol?
Do I have a superpower? I would say the arts are my superpower.
Okay, so this question might be good for you, I think. So I'm going to give you a question, four choices. Carol, that's how this works. If you get it right, you get a Studio 2 tote bag. Are we clear on the rules?
I'm clear.
Okay. This Philadelphia native and Central High graduate was known as the Dean of the Harlem Renaissance. Are we talking about A, Langston Hughes, B, Zora Neale Hurston, C, Alan Locke, or D, Jean Toomer?
Oh, wow. I have no idea.
Okay, but you still have a 25% chance here.
Yeah, walk us through your thoughts.
I'm going to choose the only one I've heard of, which is Langston Hughes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Langston Hughes, certainly an important figure in the Harlem Renaissance, but not known as the Dean of the Harlem Renaissance. I'm so sorry, Carol. The answer is Alan Locke, who was sort of known as like the intellectual forebearer, grandfather, organizer of the Harlem Renaissance.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you for being on the show, though. We appreciate you today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And fun fact for our listeners, Locke was the first African-American selected as a Rhodes Scholar. So there you go. You get to take that home with you. It's about to be the weekend. And as usual, WHYY's Tanya Pendleton has a great list of things to do.
There are a few things we can always count on in June. Weddings, graduations, and Odun Day. Now in its 48th year, the Odun Day Festival has become as much a staple in the city as those annual celebrations. CEO Bumi Fernandez-West has expanded on the festival her mother created with Odun Day 365, a year-round education program. But it's Sunday's festival that takes place on South Street around the intersection of 23rd and South that remains the festival's heartbeat. Things get started at 10 a.m., and this year's headliner is Chrisette Michele.
I see it clear, my heart is here. We got each other, let's take it from there. And if I could, I'd love you forever and
If you prefer to see her in a more intimate setting, Chrisette is also at City Winery on Thursday night at 6 and 9:30 p.m. We'll have all the details on our website, whyy.org/things to do. In the burbs, there's another cultural festival going on. Saturday's 5th annual Havertown Irish Festival moves to the school administration building this year to better handle its expansion. Now, there are 20 bands on two stages in a crafters' village with 70 crafters selling handmade arts and crafts. Little did we know, Havertown is considered the 33rd county of Ireland.
Unicorns and cannonballs and palaces and beers. Trumpets, tarts, tenements, wide ocean full of tears.
So you won't be surprised that performers include the Emerald Isle Dancers and bands Riley's Daughter, the John Byrne Band, and Jameson. The festival goes from noon to 8 p.m. and proceeds benefit the Kelly Center for Music, Arts, and Community. Giovanni's Room has been a resource for Philly's gay community for 50 years. On Saturday, they're celebrating that anniversary with the Queerapalooza Block Party and Music Festival. DJs, drag performers, and LGBTQ bands will party on the block at 10th and Pine, where Giovanni's is located. Vendors will be on hand, and of course, you can purchase books and other items from the store. The party goes from noon to 5 p.m.
The 24 hours of Le Mans. 24 hours of adrenaline, courage, and speed. Do not blink.
They'll be partying at the Simeon Automotive Museum on Saturday when the famed Le Mans Auto Race gears up for its 100th year. The museum is hosting 24 Heures de Simeon, a 24-hour party reflecting the full-day race. It gets started at 10 a.m. on Saturday, ending Sunday at 3 p.m. During that time, there will be screenings including live check-ins from the race, driving demos, guest speakers, and even more programming. Tickets must be purchased online, and yes, there will be something going on the entire 24 hours. She's still the one. Shania Twain is coming to town. We think Taylor Swift owes her a bit of a debt, as Shania is one of the first artists to combine country and pop for mainstream success in the 90s. She'll be at the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion in Camden on Friday night on the Queen of Me tour. The show starts at 7:30. If you love things to do, then you know we love Prince, who would have celebrated his 65th birthday this week. Edward Juni Henderson is one of the people making sure his legacy is not forgotten, as he's headlining the All-Star Purple Party at City Winery on Friday night. We're sure that it's going to be a beautiful night. The show starts at 7:30. And if that's not enough Prince for you, how about one of the groups he put on the map as part of the Minneapolis Sound? Delaware, get ready, because Morris Day and the Time are coming your way. They're at the Grand in Wilmington on Friday night. The show starts at 8, and you better get those tickets because Morris says that after this tour, he's hanging up his Stacey Adams. We'll be sad to see him go. And we're sad to tell you that we have to go, as that's our time this week. But we'll be back next Thursday to keep you abreast of the best of the weekend. We invite you to our website, whyy.org/things to do, to find out more, including how to get tickets to the annual Queer Prom at the Philadelphia Museum of Art and where you can buy art in the park. Whatever you choose to do, have a great weekend, everyone.
I was about to start singing Jungle Love, but, you know.
Go ahead.
You're like, please don't. Yeah, the look. Yeah, the look.
No, my look is going up. That sounds entertaining.
But, yeah, that was a lot to do this weekend.
And the good news is that if the forecasters are correct, the weather patterns will shift by the end of the week. And by Saturday, Sunday, we should have the air quality, at least, that we're used to in this region. And we want everyone, if you're going out today, tomorrow, as long as this lasts, please be safe. Take it seriously. I've heard some people sort of dismissing it because we used to have such bad air quality on sort of a regular basis here in Philadelphia. That's not a good enough reason. You shouldn't want to breathe bad air.
Yeah, and I think that this air quality has been some of the worst I've seen in the years that I've been in Philly.
For sure.
But yeah, have a great weekend. We'll be back next week.
We will indeed.
For sure. And with that, I want to say thank you for listening this week. And that is it for us. Our producers are Debbie Builder, Paige Murray-Bessler, and Andreas Copes. Al Banks is our engineer. WHYY's audio general manager is Joan Isabella.
For more of our show, head to whyy.org/studio2. Check out our podcast, Rate and Review, Rate and Review.
Yes,
from
yes.
WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Avi Wolf-Manerick.
And I'm Cherry Gregg. Thank you so much for joining us this week.